Okay, we're going to start. I want to start with a piece of news, which is, and then we're going to turn and pivot towards the topic of Yitro. And I don't know if I'm going to upload this or not. We'll see how it goes. So I don't know if you follow the news, but there's been a lot of interaction or hostility to non-religious Jews surrounding the Kotel.
If you
notice that. So there was a whole agreement to give them a separate prayer area. But I'm not sure that was the best solution because, you know, they could all stem from, like, women can't bring the Torah into the women's section. Not that I'm in big favor of it, but I'm not in favor of like, causing bigger fights than they need to be. You know, not everything has to be a big fight. But apparently in Israel, everything does have to be a big fight. So they made this separate place at Robinson's Arch, and I just saw yesterday the chief rabbi of Yerushalayim decided we're going to make a minyan over there. And so they brought a mechitza with police, and they did it.
Where did they put it? In the section that...
In the egalitarian section, you know. So, sadly, of course, the conservative and reform movements, they went crazy. This is terrible. They're taking away the last thing that we have. They're playing it all wrong. If you know Israelis, what they should have done is they should have taken a minyan of men and women, and they should have gone and started dancing with them and celebrating, and then doing interviews saying, we're so glad that Rabbi Amar and his yeshiva have now recognized the importance of the conservative reform movements, and they want to pray with us. Because that would have been the last time Rabbi Amar would have come. You know, everybody understand what I'm saying?
Like, not exactly.
They might have made a mechitza, but there's nothing to prevent a man from standing on the women's side of the mechitza in the egalitarian section of the Kotel. You know what I'm saying?
The law
of the halacha. There is no halacha in the egalitarian section of the Kotel. You understand? Meaning, yeah, you have
so
to.
What's their problem?
They said they're shulin attentive.
The problem. So I was shared. I saw someone on Facebook. Someone on Facebook is
because the rabbi took
them. She showed me this sermon written by a rabbi named Elliot Cosgrove. I don't know him. I don't know him at all. It's a shul called the Park Avenue Synagogue, and he writes the following. Like an old college friend that my wife just can't figure out why I'm still friends with. Read it again, because he writes, like an old college friend, my wife can't understand I'm still friends with. American Jews are increasingly on their heels when asked to explain their unbreakable bond with Israel. Meaning, they don't understand, the more and more Israel does to alienate them, the less and less they feel affiliated with Israel.
I was
going to say,
I don't agree with that unbreakable bond.
Oh. It's not an unbreakable bond. It used to be.
If you interview, there's less and less of a bond.
Right, but whose
Especially
fault is that?
Irreligious Jews.
Right, there's a growing split. The question is, there is a growing split, and there's not much we can do about that. At the same time, do you have to, like, you know... Right, you have to stick it in their face? Do you have to really be so pronounced about it? It's because, and this is the struggle that we have, because everybody would agree, you know, we're supposed to love all the Jewish people and welcome, et cetera, et cetera. But when it comes to actualizing that and making it real, do we really make people who are different than us feel welcome?
Can I ask a question?
The answer is
no.
No, we do not.
The basic Mikdash
In fact, we do exactly
everyone,
the opposite,
right? The basic Mikdash is for everyone,
yeah.
Regardless of religion.
In theory.
I'm saying that's what
No, it is. It's for the, right.
Okay.
Yeah, it's Beit Tfilah, the Kol HaAmin.
When you go into the Beit HaMikdash, is there a certain protocol that you have to follow?
Yes, clearly. Yes.
Today.
Right.
Because you can go here and you can go there.
I understand what you're saying, but that's not the situation.
If people
today.
Don't respect other people, it isn't like that.
That's not the situation today.
That should be our guideline.
Yes and no.
Everybody
can you find a way to let somebody have their own space?
That's the problem.
If your brother came to your house and said, listen, I don't keep kosher. I'm not going to trape up your kitchen. But in my room, I might eat something. I might bring a sandwich in. Would you say you're not welcome in my house?
No.
Right. Could you find a way, if it was in your interest, to make him feel welcome? I don't know if your brother is kosher or not. You know what I'm saying? I want to talk about that. Right. And I
sometimes I want to take these religious Jews and just take them to Chutz La'aretz.
Right.
So that they can appreciate, like, to a place
no, they don't appreciate.
Them,
they don't appreciate.
Where they appreciate.
And their answer to you would be, well, we don't want to bring Chutz La'aretz here. You have enough problems with Chutz La'aretz. The problem is, and this is what I think we have, I don't know how our role is, but somehow we have to communicate that there's a way. It's not all, you don't have to be so threatened. You don't have to see everything as so dangerous. You know, you have to find a way to love other people. We're religious Jews. We believe in the Torah.
It's
but
a very tall order.
It is. It is.
It's a very fine line. It's very nice to accept and love other people, but you want them to also accept and respect your differences.
Uh-huh.
And
they do respect and accept your differences. All they're asking for is... What?
Are
we talking about certain mechitza?
Yeah, we're talking about the mechitza thing.
You just came in.
I wrote on Facebook that they should have come and started dancing with Obama and his whole shul. All the men and women should have come and started dancing with him and celebrating how happy they are. What? It would have diffused it. But anyway, everything has to be a fight. I want to discuss this in the context of Chovav, Moshe's something-in-law. We'll see what it is. Chovav. Okay. Yeah, I would say that for a reason. Okay, in terms of, in Parshat Bahalotha, we're on Bahalotha already. Turn to Perek Yud Pasuk Kaf Tet. Perek Yud Pasuk Kaf Tet. Because Chovav, is the window through which we view how we're Gerim treated in the Midbar. Okay, so now I'm not equating, I don't want to equate, I'm only equating Gerim or Chovav with liberal Judaism in Israel for illustrative purposes. You know, Jews are Jews, and it's actually not a bad analogy. Jews are Jews, no matter how different they are. But and they have to be treated as such. But the idea is, how do we expect people... You found it?
I'm still waking up. Sorry.
Want a cup of coffee? It's very strong. Okay. Everybody complains the coffee is too strong. Okay. Pasuk Perek Yud Pasuk Kaf Tet. Chovav apparently is leaving. So we're going to read the psukim. We're going to ask a lot of famous questions. Okay, there's a relatively well-known section. We're going to ask a lot of questions. What? Who is Chovav? Who is Reuel? Are you mocking me? A little bit.
Only moderately.
Why are you mocking me?
I'm not mocking.
These are important questions.
I'm enthusiastically anticipating the...
Vayomer Moshe lechovav ben Reuel hamidyani chotein Moshe. Moshe said to Chovav, the son of Reuel, the Midianite, Chotein Moshe. No, Chotein Moshe.
In-law
of Moshe. What'd you say?
Son-in-law?
Yeah, you think so. You would think so. But it's, why, ill? Then what's your obvious first? What's your obvious first question? Yeah, no, what, why is it? Chovav. Chovav ben Reuel.
And the Chotein Moshe is describing whom? Chovav or Reuel?
Okay.
May I ask why?
Yes.
Why is that important?
Who he is?
If it's his brother-in-law,
then it's very important. Because if it's father-in-law, his father-in-law has a certain position. If it's his brother-in-law, stay, don't stay, whatever.
Why can't
Ruel
be
son-in-law? What?
It can.
Okay.
So it's
Chovav. First of all, what is your choten? Chotni, what is your choten in Hebrew?
Chatan is
son-in-law.
Chatan is your son-in-law. No, your Chatan is your father-in-law.
Chatan, what is Chotein? It doesn't have.
I don't know that it is.
It's an in-law. It's some kind of in-law. Relative by marriage. It's a relative by marriage.
Machatonim, there you go.
Machatonim.
Machaterrorist, as my mother used to say.
I don't want to go there. No comment on that. Okay. Yeah, Machateinist. That's what you said.
But that is your son-in-law's.
What's your
parents?
What are your son-in-law's parents are called?
Your
Machatonim.
Your Machatonim.
And your son-in-law is called?
Machatan.
Right.
That's why.
Father-in-law.
Cham.
In Chusar, it's what you call your father-in-law.
Chamotim.
No,
your
father-in-law's not your Machatonim.
It's called your Shver. The Shver. We all know what we call the mother-in-law, right?
The parents.
Shouldn't say
it.
I have an amazing mother-in-law.
So
you hear that, mother-in-law? You hear that? She doesn't listen to that, don't worry.
I'll tell her to listen.
Okay. Who is Chovav? The problem is, obviously, when we first meet Yitro, what is he called there? Yeah, Bar Midbar. Can you get it from
that? Kohen.
Right. You have it. Can you find it? It's in Parshat Shemot. Parshat Shemot. When Moshe runs away. Right. Parshat Shemot. It's not in Vayera. Vayera is already the plagues.
Right.
Okay. While you're looking it up, we'll see. I will ask that. Okay, so Moshe says to Ru'el the Chovav ben Ru'el Hamidyani. It's very interesting. He's described as Hamidyani. Chote Moshe, he's a relative. You find it?
Yeah.
When Moshe runs away? Okay, what does it say?
No, Patavono
El
Ru'el Aviem.
El Ru'el Aviem.
Right.
Ru'el was the father of whom?
Tzipporah.
Oh, so who is Chovav ben Ru'el? What? Right. So Chovav ben Ru'el is Moshe's brother-in-law. Look at Rashi. Chovav. What does it say?
Yitro.
Yitro.
Ah. Yeah.
Ah. Why is he called Shlemar, as it says? Mipnei Chovav, according to Shoftim. There's contradictory evidence in Tanakh. Chovav Chotein Moshe. Okay. Uma Talmud Lomar Batavona El Ru'el Aviyam. Rashi is a textual person. Rashi is teaching text. What does it mean? What do I do with the fact that it says that the Yitro's daughters went to Ru'el Aviyam?
Yeah, there's no indication.
Milameh, it teaches us. Usually it's the other way around. Usually if the sons be ignored, the daughters. But I guess the daughters were relevant here, that Moshe wanted to marry one of them.
You know, but they wouldn't ignore the daughters.
Well, if there was
the
also...
Would say how many sons there were.
If there was a son, would the daughters have been in charge of shepherding the sheep?
No.
Right. Yeah, you're only dumping to do the hard work on the daughters when the sons aren't there.
Right.
Okay. What's another example of that?
Rachel.
Right. Rachel and Leah were the shepherdesses because there were no sons. But he had sons.
Lavan.
Lavan has sons.
So maybe your premise is wrong.
Right. So did he have a son? I don't know. So we're stuck. Why does it say Matamulova Tavona Ru'el Abiham? Right? They came to Ru'el, their father. So how do you, if they've called their father, that means Chovav is not Yitro. Chovav is Yitro's son. Melameh Shatino Kot Korim La Avi Avihen Abba. Says because it's not Abba, it's they really Ru'el was really grandpa.
Their ancestor.
Right. Chovav, they went to Chovav, their grandfather. Where is Yitro at the time?
Ruel,
their grandfather. And where is Yitro at the time? Why didn't they go to Yitro?
He's busy.
He's hanging around. He's converting the world. God only knows. So they were hanging out with their grandfather. Okay, everybody like that, Perush?
Wasn't he on the Sanhedrin?
What?
Wasn't he part of the Zakenim?
He was a Kohen Midyan.
He
can't be part of the
Sanhedrin.
No, he's Jewish.
But when didn't he convert and he got some position of like high position of power?
But then he left.
If he stayed.
Okay. What's the Midrashic interest? Well, we have to read on and see. So we're either stuck. According to Pshat, who is Chovav? He is Moshe's
brother-in-law.
According to Drash, who is he?
Moshe's father-in-law.
Everybody understand?
Yeah.
Drash. Now Rashi, he gives you a textual answer, but not so great. What? Ideologically, do we care who it is? Why do we care? Renes, why do we care who it is?
We brought it up.
Well, there's a different relationship between Moshe and his brother-in-law.
Okay. Right? If he's his brother-in-law.
Another guy.
If he's his father-in-law.
The respect.
Kohen Midyan.
Yeah.
Right. Kohen
Midyan.
Yitro
gave him all that advice.
Correct. Yitro has a different place in the...
He's got the wisdom.
Right.
He's got the stature. He's got the what have you. Very good. Let's see. Look at... You all have Ibn Ezra? Some of you might have Ibn Ezra. If you have Ibn Ezra, look at Ibn Ezra. There's a long essay. Not so long. Chaptet. Matzano sheTziporah hi bat Ru'el. He says Tziporah is the daughter of Ru'el. Ki ken katuv, it says, vayitein et Tziporah bito. And he gave his daughter, who's this? This is Ru'el, gave Tziporah his daughter. Ve'od hashkot son avihem, el Ru'el avihem. Over and over it calls Ru'el father. Ve'hineh chovav, Ibn Ezra says, ben Ru'el. Ve'hineh hu achit Tziporah. So it must be that Ben Ru'el. This, by the way, makes sense. We would expect Ibn Ezra, who's a Pashtan, to say, look at the Pshat, and that's what it is. Ulefi shikul hadat shehu Yitro, ba'avur chanutenu ba'midvar. We're going to see later on, Moshe says, ba'avur, you know our chanutenu ba'midvar, our encampment. So therefore, maybe it's Yitro. Va'amar al-dvar Yitro.
How does that prove that it's Yitro?
That's why you know chanutenu ba'midvar? I'm not entirely sure. Okay? Ve'im yit'on to'en, ki ha'katuv amar Yitro chotein Moshe. It says, Vayishma Yitro, what's the word? Chotein Moshe. And here it's called, Chovav ben Ru'el Midyani, Choten Moshe. So what is the meaning of the word Choten, seemingly?
Father-in-law.
Yesh lahashiv. I can answer. Ki derecha mikra likro avi ha-me'ara ve'achiha Choten.
The in-laws.
He's an in-law. Both father-in-law is Choten and brother-in-law is Choten. So you have a choice. Everybody understand this puzzle? Okay, on the one hand, we know that Reuel was Avi Tzipora. We also know that Yitro is Choten. Okay, so which one is it? You choose, so you have to decide. Does Avi mean father and grandfather? Or does Choten mean brother-in-law and father-in-law? I lost you all. We should be you on the board. I know I should do this on the board. Okay. What? You like Rashi better?
I like that the Choten is the married in.
Choten is married in. So therefore Choten would be, so therefore Reuel would be his, Chovav would be his
brother-in-law.
Okay. Is it important? Let's see. Let's read up. So now, this is the debate between Ibn Ezra and Rashi, the Pashtanim and the Darshanim. Is Chovav Yitro or is Chovav Yitro's son, Moshe's brother-in-law? We're going to write a Disney song about this. Okay. Yeah. What? I've lost you already?
Yitro is Reuel? Or
according to Rashi, Chovav is Yitro. According to
Ibn Ezra,
Chovav is Yitro's son. That's all. You like Ibn Ezra? Why, here's the question. Why does Moshe care if his brother-in-law leaves? He's going to tell him, don't go. You're so important here. We love you to pieces. It'd be so bad if you left.
I think his brother-in-law took over his father-in-law's position. Yeah.
Let's read. Vayomer Moshe l'Chovav ben Reuel ha-Midyani choten Moshe, whoever the guy is. Nosim anachnu el ha-makom asher amar Hashem oto. We are now Nosea, traveling to the place where God said about it, I will give it to you. L'cha itanu v'hitavnu lach. Go with us v'hitavnu lach. It will be good for you. Ki Hashem diber tova Yisrael. Because God said good things about Israel.
How many times can you say tov in the same sentence?
Let's see. How many times did you say tov?
Twice. It's
only
twice.
Only twice?
But it's right next
Hitavnu,
to each
diber tov.
Just seems like
Vayomer elah, and he said, Lo elech, I won't go. Ki el artzi ve'el moladati elech. Because I will go to my land, my country, my eretz, ve'el moladati, in my birthplace. Vayomer, and he said, Al na ta'azov otanu. Do not abandon us. Ki al ken yadata chanutenu ba'midbar v'hayita lanu le'inayim. Because for this reason, you know where our encampment in the desert, and you were for us, le'inayim, eyes. Neither way. V'haya ki teilech imanu, and when you will go, v'haya hatov hahu, asher yativ Hashem imanu, v'heitav nulav. Here's your tov. Right? So you got five tovs. Right? And it will be the good, that good that God will do with us, v'heitav nulav. End of section.
It's like the opposite of the conversation that Ruth and Naomi have.
Right.
Yeah.
The reversal. Oh, you're right. That Ruth's like, I'm coming. No, don't come. Don't come. Don't. And here Moshe is doing the opposite.
Yeah.
You're saying come with us? Okay. So we have a number of different questions. First of all, so now everybody understand why it seems to be talking about Yitro? Why Rashi insists that it's Yitro?
Isn't there a
Korean
midrash that says Yitro converted?
Right, wait a second. What does it mean? You were, does it mean v'hayita lanu? Okay, there's two ways of interpreting it. And you were,
no,
or...
I can't.
The hayita, what's the vav?
No, it's a vav future.
And you will be.
Vav hahipu. And you will be for us.
No, and.
Just
you will be.
No, and?
It's either or. It's either and or switches the tense.
So that you will be. Rashi.
I picture him as a tracker. Somebody who's familiar with the physical layout of the land.
Why would it need a tracker?
Why were they lost for 40 years? I'm just saying.
No, come on. We're lost. Well, the problem with it, you're saying, now, if you say that's for Eretz Yisrael, that would be one thing. You want to say that Chovav is the father-in-law or the son-in-law?
I would say it's the son-in-law.
The brother-in-law. And he happens to be just an excellent tracker.
Like, he knows the way of the land where they are because he's...
He's from Midian.
He's from nowhere near there.
He's from nowhere near there. Plus, we didn't read this today. We didn't read this today, but the in Baalotcha, there's like 10 psukim about... How basically they follow the Anan. When the Anan would go up, then they would travel. Now and go down, then they would travel up, down, up, down, up, down. What? They don't even travel. The only track of them is in Eretz Canaan itself when they go. Okay? This is the first time we're talking about the prospect of actually going. Right? He bin Sar Aaron, you know, this is in this week's parasha. Okay. Oh, I lost my space. I lost my place.
You were in Lamed Aleph.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Okay. So
I know that this is not really what
we're on Vahayita Lanu Leinayim. Okay? Yeah.
I know that this isn't really how Rashi.
No, say it.
But
what is my wait, do you want to come to produce?
No, I'm wondering if the Vahayita Lanu Leinayim is almost like you will be an aid for us. Like you are or an eyewitness.
To tell everybody else.
Look at Ibn Ezra. Oh, you don't have Ibn Ezra. Ibn Ezra, who said, remember, Ibn Ezra said, he's the son-in-law. So what is Vayita Lani Naim? Past or future?
Future.
Right. Leharot Haderech.
To show us the way.
Right? To show us the way. You'll show us the way. Rashi? Look at Rashi, Vayita Lani Naim. Lashon Avar.
Or
Kitargumo. No. What is Targumo?
Targumo is Targumo.
Did Avidan Lana Chazita Beinecha? You did.
In the past.
But okay.
Devaracher. That's why he brings another one.
He doesn't like it linguistically.
It doesn't 100% make sense for him in his context.
By the way, what would be the past? What did he show him in the past?
He gave him all that advice.
Right. He gave him great advice. We assume that he gave him other. Yeah, I mean, Moshe Rabbeinu is a great person, but he's never led, you know, millions of people. It's a skill to be a leader. It's also a skill. It's a skill to say I don't know how to lead. It's a skill to say I need help.
He should say Vayitali Leinayim.
Lanu, no, that's not crazy here.
What? Instead of Lanu.
Ah,
no,
but he helped all of Israel by giving his ideas.
Or the royal way.
Let's keep going, Rashi. Call davar vada, okay, davar acher lashon atid. Call davar sheet alei me'inenu, anything that's hidden from us, tiyem erinenu, you'll enlighten us. Davar acher, this is a really interesting davar acher. Shetehe chaviv aleinu kegalgal einenu. You will be beloved to us like the pupils of our eyes. Galgal.
Like the rolling of our eyes.
Shineemar ve'ahavtem et hager. We'll love you like we love our own eyes.
That's because of the whole love part.
What?
Yeah.
What?
But then that's Yitro.
Yeah.
Well, or even Yitro's son, right?
No,
it's Yitro.
Only Yitro converted and not his son?
I don't know. Did he sell
Rashi
his
son? Rashi said it was Yitro anyway.
Rashi thinks it's Yitro. Wait a second. This Davar Acher is fascinating. For a number of reasons. What's most fascinating about what Rashi brings up? You'd like, if Rashi comes out of left field, what in the world does that have to do with anything? What's Rashi?
Yeah, it's like, he takes it to like a total metaphorical level.
Yeah, why?
Away from
Shat. Why? No, did he move it away from Shat?
No, because he keeps saying, whatever good we get, you'll get too. You're one of us now. Where it's a package deal. What you get, we get. You will be as essential to us.
You are like our pupils of our eyes.
You are as essential to us as our eyes are. You are a part of us. You are like, you know, like my grandfather used to say, my family is my hand. If one finger hurts, the whole hand hurts.
Right. Yeah, is that true?
For Gerim?
Yeah.
Should be.
We just learned last week that it isn't really like that with Gerim.
Oh, right. Did we do this last week too with Gerim?
The Gerim class.
That's right. Look at Rashi and Lamed Aleph. So this is a theme in this section of Rashi. We're going back.
Okay.
This theme of what?
No answers.
What?
Sorry, it was 2 weeks.
What did we say?
Sorry.
Oh, I mean, why did Rashi mention this?
Yeah.
Rashi.
Why did he come with the Devar Acher?
I'm going to show you. This is a theme. Real question we have to ask ourselves is why is Yitro leaving?
Yeah. Why?
Perhaps he doesn't feel part.
Why? What would make a person feel not part?
He's not part of the team.
And therefore?
Mm-hmm.
And therefore?
When he goes out,
boom.
Out, yeah.
Did you say that? Look at Rashi. Lamed Aleph. Both of you were saying at the same time. Lamed Aleph. Al na ta'azov. Al na ta'azov. So interesting. Please don't leave. Moshe Rabbeinu is saying please. Right? Eina ela lashon bakasha. Why does Moshe really care so much? Okay, you want to stay? Stay. You don't want to stay? You know, nice having you. We'll see you at the next, you know, party. Shalom lo yomru lo nitgayer Yitro mechiba. Because maybe what happens if Yitro leaves? What are people going to say? You didn't convert out of chiba, out of love for God. Rather, savor haya sheyesh legeirim chelek ba'aretz. So he only converted in order to
get
a piece of the land. Achshav shera'a she'en chelek b'nehem halachlo. So now we discovered, like, now things get serious. Why? Because now we're talking about getting tachlis. Who gets what? And all of a sudden, when they decided, remember, we just divided up the camp. Okay, we didn't do the Nachala, the Chalukah. We didn't do that. We're going to do that at the end of Bamidbar. But it became clear, so Yitro said, okay, remember we had this debate about the kid from Dan and the Ben Amitzri, and Yitro watched his whole Chalukah, and his sons are with him. He brought his whole family, and he's like, which camp should we go to?
You stay out there.
Moshe, son-in-law. Dad, I got it. I'll let you know in a minute. You know, like, what do you say? What do you say?
Yeah.
The answer is. What?
It's not.
There's no answer. Like, there's no. You don't. They didn't have a chelik in the nachala. Well, if your daughter's marrying, then they can have a part. Your son's really not. You don't really have a chelik. What?
That's right, yeah.
We talked about this before. We live in a time where we don't stigmatize Gerim. They stigmatize Gerim.
Yeah.
Let's go back to Ruth. How is Ruth referred to throughout the entire Megillah? Ruth HaMoaviyah.
And also, I think that Yitro and his family were much darker skinned, right?
Why would you say that?
So they stuck out. Because of
Sipora, we weren't Eastern European. We were, Ishakushit.
Yeah.
What?
What? No.
That's only if you think. No, that's only if you think Ishakushit is talking. Is talking. No, no, no. That's only if you think Ishakushit is Sipora. Right.
Oh.
Why would you think Moshe had only one wife? Why would you think Moshe only had one wife?
Where's the evidence of another Ishakushit?
Yeah. We've definitely talked about this. There's crazy midrashim, the Yalkut Me'am Lois, about Moshe Rabbeinu, what happened to him in the 40 years between when he ran away from Egypt to when he got to Midian.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't we talk about this?
Rina taught it.
Rina did it?
Yeah.
Moshe Be'eretz Kush. You can write a whole children's book about it. What? We did it once. That was the old house, wasn't it? Ages ago. You remember it? Sort of. Right, I'm sure it's been crazy stories about Moshe Be'eretz Kush. Right. Okay, what? We can do it again? Anyway.
The Jewish Excalibur story.
That was one Jewish Excalibur. Right, he went to the thing and saw this.
He walked into.
No, that was the staff, with the staff.
Right, but that was an extension of the same Midrash. He was the king of. He ran away, he was the king of Kush.
Of king of Kush. Of the army, right. Right, crazy stories.
Yeah.
Right, something happened to Moshe for 40 years before he got to the age of 80.
He left another woman or women. Just Sipora.
No, we know that there was an Ishakushit. It's strange that you would refer to Sipora as an Ishakushit.
In those days, wouldn't it be strange just to have one wife?
It would have been incredibly unusual.
Yeah.
Unheard of. Why would you do that?
Well,
although we know Moshe was a busy guy, he was not a family man in the sense that we think of a family man.
Wait, who was a family man?
No one.
Right. What does that mean? What does that even mean? A family man? You sire a family and then you're a man. I don't understand.
Meaning that your kids follow in your footsteps.
The ones
you give chinuch to them that they.
All of these words you're using don't have any meaning to me.
Exist.
No, there are obligations a father has for a son.
Why does Miriam give him Musar about the Isha Kushit?
What happened to Miriam when she gave him Musar?
Oh, gosh, she got sent out.
Right, right.
Sorry.
No, she gave him Musar that she said that she spoke about the fact that he had separated from his wife.
His wife.
Right, that he was not acting as husband and wife. That she thought that was inappropriate.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So it was from the
tangent.
Not our discussion. Okay. why would Yitro? So
this
it is. Well, no, this is a little different. This brings us back to the question of why would Yitro want to leave? And the answer that Rashi suggests is he doesn't feel welcome. Why would you want to stay? Like, he came to be a part. And how much of a part is a person have to be considered in order for him to say, this is worth it to me to be a part of this?
By the mere fact that he's Moshe's father-in-law, makes it hard for anyone.
No, I don't think that bothered him. He got to be Moshe's father-in-law.
No, but it might bother other people. Like, there's a respect, there's an awe, you know, like, you were a rev of a community if your father, you know what I'm saying? Like,
oh, I would say differently. He was Choten Moshe. Like, that's the analogy. He was Kohen Midian. In Midian, he was like the Hiva, right? The guy.
Right.
And he was now Moshe's father-in-law.
Right, but I'm saying there's a distance. People keep a distance, you know, out of respect. They're not going to say, hey, bud, let's go for a beer and bowling. It's not. They're not going to invite that guy for beer and bowling.
Did they have beer and bowling in the desert?
That's an example.
Okay, so I'm just kidding.
Clumsy.
What?
They're not going to be casual with him.
It's too drishy for me. I just don't know if that was like a factor back then. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, hanging out with the guys because you're his father-in-law. I don't know.
I think
the issue of it, the Nachla, correct.
Thing.
You're asking him to understand.
Grandchildren
forever. Right.
Yes.
Correct.
It's
correct. Meaning, it's not just you. Mm-hmm. Your children have no inheritance.
Right.
They will have no place. My sons.
They'll always be outsiders.
Correct. They'll always be outsiders. So then, if that's
the
true.
The sons, if they marry girls, they don't go into the girls' club.
No, they're just outsiders. They're like Eregra. You're just outsiders. Now, between you and me, is it any, I mean, we've discussed this, 2 weeks ago we discussed this? Is it any different? I mean, you know, like, it's a little different now.
Of course it's different.
Where we're just supposed to live.
But now?
Yeah.
Because it's not absolutely.
Not forever, but we're all stigmatized
here.
It's just
ignorant
and no one remains.
What? No, we do stigmatize them. Who does? Okay, you don't. What? Talk to her. Many people. Okay? And also remember the thing that you don't have to deal with, i.e., when your children will get married, you'll just get a letter from a rabbi. When their children will get married, someone's going to ask a question. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Especially today. Believe me, I know. Right. Third or fourth. But we don't go back that far. But it's only really a question of recent converts because there is just an explosion of conversion in the past 30 years, 40 years. It's an absolute explosion. Mostly, in America, it's mostly because of intermarriage and assimilation and the Giurim, which is, some of them are very difficult. You know, and conservative and reform Giurim and just rabbis just going off and converting people and no observance whatsoever. It's just common. Well, there is patriarchal lineage, and then how much do you consider? It's just so common. It's a problem. This is a big problem, you know. But if you go back three or four, if somebody was converted in, you know, in 1870, you know, who did the conversion? You almost never heard of it. It was so rare, okay? Because who would want to become Jewish in Poland in 1870? Yeah, that's why the records of Geirim are well known, because there were so few of them, because you
and
have...
And they were ready, Geirim said.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
you know, and then they didn't have to, then the Beit Din didn't have to tell you, what are you crazy, don't you know what it means to be a Jew, because you knew what it meant to be a Jew. Okay, so then, 1 second, Vayitelanu Deinayim, so that's the Rashi that we said, Shetiyeh Chaviv Aleinu, Shenemar V'Yahav, we'll love you, V'Ahavtem Et Hager, okay? Lamid Bet. So what does Moshe promise? How does he address this? So if Yitro's concern is, I don't have a nachala, what's Moshe saying? V'haya ha-tovahu. Look at Rashi. Ma tova hetivulo. So what could he offer him? Amru, kshayu mechalkim Yisrael et haaretz, when they divided up the land. I'm on Rashi on Lamid Bet. Haya doshna shel Yericho. Tafkuf ama al tafkuf ama. There was like an area of Yericho that was 500 by 500 amot. V'henichu ami lachlok. And they left it on the side. Amru mishi bara beit hamikdash bechelko hu yitlenu. Benkach ubenkach nabnu lebnei Yitro leYonatan leYonadab ben Rechem shneemar ubnei Keni choten Moshe alu miirat Marim. So there is later evidence that the children of Yitro did come back to the land of Canaan. And they inherited someplace in Ir HaTamarim, which is Yericho. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, Yitro was so concerned, you're so concerned that you're not going to have a Nachala, we made an exception. We found some area nobody wanted. Exactly. And nobody wanted.
Like you said, in the south.
The industrial zone.
What?
Industrial zone.
Don't give them where the smell is. Yeah, we'll solve the problem. Okay.
But you just said that Etzer is the most fertile.
I don't think that's
where the smell is. Doshna. He said the most fertile. Deshen is fertilizer.
So did all the other
So it could mean the most fertile. It could also mean
Smell.
The dosh, right, the place from which they get fertilizer. Doshna Shayubita. Why else would somebody say, yeah, we don't want it? Can you think of any area of land that somebody says, you could have it?
Right.
Right? Right, you know.
Did the other Gerim, I'm saying we were speaking about the Gerim who just don't have anywhere to go. Were they allowed there? Were they just...
All
of them were allowed. No, I'm saying the Garim.
So you had there are people who lived in a land. They had land or had cities. If you didn't get land, then you had to settle in a city and develop a trade. Okay, but the most sure thing that a person could have was land. And that was considered throughout history. There was land and there was everything else. Remember also, our wealth is artificial wealth. Right? Think about your bank account. Think about how much money you have in the bank. How much money do you actually physically have in the bank?
Zero.
Zero. You have nothing. Okay? The stocks that you own are imaginary. Right? The only thing that you own that's actually real, if you own it, is your house. And probably the bank owns it. You know what I mean? Yeah. You understand? It's the only real thing in the world that you could possibly own. And remember, all the money that you have, we have locks, we have security. Where could you possibly keep any significant amount of money? You couldn't. So if you had any amount of money, what would you do?
Buy land.
That's all you would do. You buy land. Because it's the only thing that nobody can steal. And they can steal that too. But it's the only thing that you actually have secure. Halacha talks about it when you read the Gemara, especially about the Adaf Yomi. There's two kinds of property. There's something called Nechasim Sheyesh Lehem Achrayut and Nechasim She'en Lehem Achrayut. Achrayut means obligation, i.e. I give you a mortgage, you're backing it up. There's mortgage-backed security. A mortgage-backed security is land. That's it. And it's still that way today. Because no matter what happens, no matter how far the stock market falls, sooner or later people need land. And that's why Israelis like to own apartments. Because they don't trust. What?
No, I'm saying, you said you can't take it away from
people. Oh, you can kick somebody out, absolutely. Right, except in certain places, that's true. But land is a good investment, always. Okay? Even if it goes down, it's still worth something. Whereas if your company stock goes bankrupt, it's worth nothing. So all these people, the Gerim, so you had all the Nachala, the inheritance, and then everybody else. So what do you do with that? The only problem is that Moshe Rabbeinu was stuck. Because on the one hand, Yitro, he understands why he wants to leave. So Moshe Rabbeinu can offer him something. But on the other hand, what can't Moshe Rabbeinu offer him? What can't he give him?
Nachala.
He can't give him the Nachala. Those are the rules. So he's, on the one hand, stuck between a rock and a hard place. I want you to stay. But the thing that would really want to make you stay is to make you an equal. But you're not an equal. I can't make you an equal. You know?
Yeah.
What?
Once his daughters, if he's got daughters, and they convert, they can marry Jewish men.
Sure. Yeah. No, the Shem would be Jewish, but they wouldn't have a Shevet. They would have no Nachala.
What about if they're married like the daughters of the
Slavkai? Ah. Whatever.
What about the daughters of the
Slavkai? Yeah, I understand what you're saying, but I understand what you're saying. Right. Okay. Look, anybody have Sephorno? Moshe's also married. He's also stuck with Yitro. Rashi sort of alluded to this. Why is Yitro so important? Why does Moshe care so much? Right? Remember, we'll go back to the Rashi that we talked about at the very beginning. Rashi on Lamed Aleph. Halavai, that should be the only problem.
It's a behavioral issue. This is a big systemic issue.
Yeah.
This is how we deal with every single person who ever wants to recognize Hashem.
Mm-hmm.
As a monotheistic, right? Who's not part of
No, we don't believe that you have to be Megayah. We absolutely do not believe.
No,
we are not a proselytizing people.
Correct. Okay, but
the issue of gear, by the way, is critically important today for a different reason. The issue of here is critically important because it's the one out we have that makes us not racist. Because we don't care how you were born, because anyone can be a Jew. Right? The idea of racism and, you know, Zionism, racism, et cetera, Israel is one of the only countries in the world, as liberal and open-minded as it is, it's the only country in the world that will allow you automatic citizenship by birth. Anybody else, you're a citizen, yes, because your parents were a citizen, mm-hmm. but not because your parents are a member of a certain race. Mm-hmm. You know, Israel's
and you have
the
to
only.
Prove that.
Israel, name another country. What? Because your parents were American, were citizens, but not because your parents were a member of an ethnicity. No American is. You can't say, you know, I'm Irish Catholic, I was born Irish Catholic, I'm white, I get to be American.
And there lies the criticism.
That's right. So what's the out of that criticism is, go look around you, look how many, like, we're not like that. There are Jews from all over the world. Moreover, any kind of anybody can become Jewish, as long as they adhere to the rules. You know what I'm saying? But as soon as you say, well, but we treat you like a second-class citizen, and we don't really, you're not really full, you know, whatever, doesn't really, that argument becomes very weak. There's another important argument. Look back at Rashi that we talked about. Lamed Aleph, Al Na Ta'azo. Ein Na L'Lashon Bakashad. Rashi's asking, Moshe's asking, please, Shelo Yomru, Lo Nitgayer Yitro Mitzvah. Shelo Yomru, who? Who will not say? So, because people will say, Yitro didn't convert for because he loved God. He converted for the money, for the land. And now that he's not getting any land, he's leaving. Mm-hmm. What are we worried about? What are we worried about? Shelo Yomru. Who? No, forget Zipporah. Who? What? Who? The nations of the world. Here, you are, I'm Hanifa, we're going to bring light to the world, we're going to bring shine light of God to the nations of the world. All of a sudden, one guy shows up, and, you know, he comes for a year, and then he leaves. Not only one guy, the Kohen Midyan, you know, the Pope came. I want to be a part of the Jewish people. Didn't work out. Sorry. What? Right, sorry. We won't sell you property.
Right. And if we do, we'll sell you bad property.
Right, yeah. The Vada Kabbalah rejected you. If it wasn't so true, you wouldn't be laughing. Look at Sephorno.
Okay.
Look at Sephorno. Sephorno says it explicitly. If you have it, Sephorno and Lamed Aleph. Ki alken yadata chanotenu bamidbar. Says Sephorno. If you have it. Ve'im ya'azvenu gam banecha techalelu et Hashem be'enei ha'umot. This is chil Hashem. Shiyamu ilu ra'a Yitro b'hem inyan Elohi be'emet lo ha'ozev otam hu banav. If there was something special about these people, they wouldn't have left. U'bazeh hiski Moshe v'Yitro u'banav. They all agreed. Okay. Ki amnam. Okay, so the real question is, what happened in the end? Did he come or did he not come? Did he come or did he not?
Yeah.
How does the parsha end? V'hayak yitelech imanu v'yatov v'hu sher yitiv Hashem imanu v'yitav lulach. Next pasuk la megimu. V'yisam v'sumi har Hashem derech shlosh demi. And they all traveled. Did Yitro agree? Or did Yitro not agree? Did Yitro say, okay, Moshe, I'll stay? Or did he leave?
He left.
How do you know? Doesn't say. This is critically important. Like, Moshe begs, please with Yitro, don't leave. Does he leave or not? Well, look at Sforno. Okay. But then, now this is the end of the Sforno. What'd you say?
Yes, in Yehoshua.
Yeah, we do see him again. We see his descendants. Ubazeh hiski Moshe v'Yitro ubanav. That's what Moshe, Yitro, and his children, they agreed. Ki amnan Yitro chazar el arzo. Yitro did go back ki amro v'yishlach Moshe et chotno. It says that Moshe sent his choten. In Yitro, in Parashat Yitro, it says Moshe sent him away. Vayelech lo el arzo. Ubanav halchu im Yisrael b'li safek. His children went with Yisrael. Kmo sheheid b'sefer shoftim. Not in Yeshua, but in Shoftim. Ubnei cheti chekeni choten Moshe a'alu me'ir tmarim. Remember, somebody inherited that plot of land in Yericho. So when did they come back? So you can look at this in the most positive... Maybe the sons never left, but who did? But Yitro did not. See, so the answer is, so this whole parsha, this whole...
his whole family go away?
What?
Be on his own?
Does spiritual quest?
What does he get out of it?
Well...
You go back to Midian?
What?
What do you do?
Although he has all the status there.
He has the
rule. So, there are conflicting midrashim. The midrash says, why did Yitro want to go back? Now, I'm going to read you conflicting midrashim. One we've seen and one we haven't seen. Amar lo. So Yitro said, L'machar shetechalek Eretz Yisrael l'shvatim. Tomorrow, this is from the Sifrei. When you divide up the land to the Shvatim, which tribe is going to give me land in their plot? Oh, tell him echad b'toch shalom, one little hill. El hareni holech la'artzi ve'ochel peirot me'artzi ve'eshtei yayin mikarmi. I'm going home. I have my own land. I have my own vineyard. I don't need this. That doesn't speak so good of us. Okay. Ve'lama lo kibel yitro chelak me'artz Yisrael. So why did he? So why don't you get him? Shakadosh Baruch Hu Yisir et Yisrael Shini Yatov LaGerim Shine Amar Ve'ahavtem Et HaGer. God said, love the ger. Av Ba'aretz Lo Natan Lahem Chelek. Kafi Shalom Itna Ha'aretz Elez Lizar'o Shel Avraham. So why did Moshe give him a piece of land? God didn't give him a piece of land. Meaning, we're stuck between this rock and a hard place.
Yeah.
Love the ger, but don't give him a piece of land. We're back 2 weeks ago, where we were 2 weeks ago, right? That we should be encouraging and inheriting and love and all that, but there's a limit. There's a limit. There's a nachla of Am Hashem, and you have to establish this
Malchut Hashem. Wait, hold on. Are we really saying that a ger is not Zera Abraham? We call them when they convert, we call them Ben Abraham.
The Gemara talks about that. How can you say Elohai? Right? It's my people. It becomes a member of the of the classic people.
Zera is a
That's nice and drashy of you, but if I recall, at the beginning of this year, you liked the shot. Caught in your own web of shotness.
Can I just ask?
You don't like because you don't like the idea of only Zera.
Because otherwise, there's no way for them to be any part of the Jewish people,
right?
Not anything to do with land
until they assimilate, until they integrate, until they're all defined.
So what happened to
Yitro's
sons?
What do you mean? We don't know. Did Yitro go back or not? What's that? I have to read you another midrash. That's really interesting. Davar Acher. He says, no, I got to go back. Lama Chazar. Shaya Mechashei Ve'omer. He says, listen, Hashana Azot Shnai Patsoret Haita. We're in the middle of a drought because the plagues caused the whole drought. Va'ani Liviti Uparnasti Et Ha'aniim. I was the one supporting all the poor people. Ve'im Ani En Holech Uparayat Chovot. He says, if I don't go back and pay my debts, it's a chil Hashem. There's a midrash, I don't know where it got it from. But the midrash says, I gotta go back home because if I don't go home, it's a chil Hashem. I gotta go home, take care of my affairs, and then I'll come back. Yeah, you don't like it? Like, it's sort of like out of the. What? It wraps it up cleanly. Right? Yitro was a tzaddik, Moshe was a tzaddik, everyone's a tzaddik. Exactly. Another one.
I'll
read you a different
one.
Another one.
In his own space.
Okay. Yitro says, and this refers to what you told me about, that not lack of place, but it wasn't because he wanted to drink beer with the guys. The Midrash says he gave us all this advice and everything, right? Amar lo Yitro the Moshe, klum haner mehaneh, ala b'makom choshech. Yeah, I gave advice, but candles are only valuable in the dark. Do the sun and the moon need a candle? You're the sun, Aaron's the moon. What do I have to do? Now that I have true religion, I'm going to go back home and bring religion to my
the
rest
the
of the world.
Right,
but I have a role, I have a mission, now that I've gotten in this passion. So according to that midrash, did Yitro stay?
No.
No, left. Right, and then who came back?
The sons,
the people who was Mekarei, right, his descendants, etc. You know, so it's interesting. This whole section is left wide open. And the answer is, The answer is, what did Yitro do? It depends on who you think he was and how he reacted. If he's Yitro, then that's... That was a Midrash, Michilta Yitro. Michilta and Yitro. Remember, the Midrash is not one perspective. The Midrash is bringing a zillion different perspectives. You know, but I think about this in terms of the Midrash that we wrote about, that there is a sort of legislated distinction made between the Ger and everyone else. And the Yitro feels different, and he feels persecuted because he is different, and he is persecuted to some degree. He's not the same. And you're supposed to love the Ger, but the Ger understands that he's the Ger. He understands that he's a stranger, and maybe we don't make that clear enough when a person converts. Like, you know, we say, you know, maybe it should be clear and say, you know, it's going to be painful for you. Understand when you make this decision, maybe you shouldn't make this decision, because no matter what you do, you're always going to be like, maybe we should really update and
we
say,
don't do that.
We don't say to this person,
discouraging.
We discourage, and we say, the discouragement always was in the Rambam, they talk about is, don't you know the Jews are persecuted? It stinks to be a Jew in the world today. That's no longer relevant. Okay, it's great to be a Jew in the world.
Right.
Maybe we should say, listen, understand that you're never going to fit in anywhere. Because as much as we say we love you, you're going to be an outsider.
But it's not like that today.
One second.
We have to strive for what the Torah says.
And no matter how much you say...
No matter how much you say,
yes, I'm going to fit in, you still have a family, you still have an identity, you still have a background that it's difficult to abandon, especially today.
Wait, can I ask, by the time they come to the conversion,
especially today.
This?
What?
Like,
I don't know.
I think about my friends that have converted, and they're like seriously stark people.
Yeah, what do they do? What do they do with their family who invites them for Thanksgiving?
Or they have to sit
with
family.
No, they're old family.
They make it work. They figure out ways to make it work. They haven't necessarily completely disassociated.
You just need to repeat what I just said.
Yeah, but
you just repeated what I just said. Because according to the Torah, according to Halakha, Ger shenitgayer kekatan shenoladam, you have to be reborn. You have to reassert. You have to totally...
Does that mean you've got to reject
your
family?
But what about the idea of a parasite?
Yeah, in a way. Yeah.
You still have a certain level of a parasite.
No, it doesn't say that. No, it doesn't say that. Especially
but
not...
But if you know what
it says... The Gemara says something fascinating. The Gemara says something... There's a Mishnah. I learned with my son last night, a Mishnah Yomi. A Ger... Halachically, Midyar Raita does not inherit his parents. If his father dies and he's a non-Jew, he doesn't have a right to have an inheritance. But the Rabbanan said he could have his inheritance because they were afraid that if they took away that inheritance, then the Ger would revert.
I would go back to that.
Yeah, because the rabbi said, so what? He left you $10 million. You're not related to him anymore. So therefore, the Rabbanan, they gave it to you because they were afraid that the Ger would revert. It would be too hard.
But today...
But today, Kach, that the Oraita, there's no inheritance of a Ger from his father.
But we don't...
We don't do that.
Today, it's not like that. We're told to embrace
women.
I'm saying like this, I don't know, maybe where I come from it's different, but I'm saying when a person gets married and maybe their mother was a girl or their father was a girl,
sure.
It's like a non-issue. It's not an issue. Maybe in our world, maybe not in other worlds of Yiddishkeit. But I'm
let me ask you one second. Yeah, your child wants to marry a girl, and that's wonderful, and I think I'd be open to it also. But then they tell you, they talk to them, then they're talking to you on the phone. I tell myself I'd be okay. But then they're talking on the phone, and they say, yeah, they're going to their grandparents. They're going to take a vacation to their grandparents in Tahoe.
Okay,
what do you say to yourself?
I get it.
Oh, you're so open. One second, you're all so open-minded. It's not so simple.
Yeah.
It's not so simple.
But if it was their
and that the Yitro story, especially in the context of Rashi, it opens up our eyes to his perspective. Stay, lachai tanu tov, and all Yitro says is, really? Do I get all that tov? No, it'll be good for you. We don't see it from his perspective. It's a difficult conundrum.
Well,
stop here.